What we have been talking about for the past couple of weeks is that we respond to what God reveals, amen? Yeah. Every time he reveals something to us, we should respond. Yeah. So the question is, you know, how do I respond? So three things before we get into that. You know, God always reveals three things about himself. First, who he is, and I believe we have a slide for that. So say with me, who he is, what he has done, and what he's doing right now. So I want you to think about these three things that are happening today. I mean, that are in your life right now. So say, God, who are you in my life? What have you done for me today? What are you doing right now? What is it that you want to work in my life? What is it that you're talking to me, speaking to me today, not tomorrow, not what you want me to do a year from now? You know, I know some of us plan and we have calendars and everything for the things that, you know, vacation and all that. But you know, let us not forget that God is a God of today. That he is today. He was yesterday, he is today, and he is tomorrow. Amen. Forever. Endeavor. So that's one of the things that we have to ask ourselves. The big question is, how do I respond? So if God, you're revealing yourself to me today, how do you want me to respond, say with me, today? Not tomorrow, you know, not the way I did yesterday, because how many of you guys remember the old nice hymns, right? That was a way of responding in worship and song to the Lord. But it's not the way we do it today. But the principle remains is that we are to worship in song and expressing ourselves to the Lord every day, even if that looks new to us and we're not maybe comfortable with it. Amen? Pastor Tim spoke about this last week. I mentioned that our faith has to find a way to express itself. And what we see in Galatians is that it has to be accompanied through faith and through love. Say those two words with me, faith and love. So what we will see in the following passage today will not only be about responses of how we are to respond, but beautiful expressions of how we are to respond to what God reveals to us. Expressions can look many ways, and this passage is amazing because it will teach us what you know, the psalmist, King David, was talking to us and saying, hey, this is how one way, this is a way that you can begin to start expressing to the Lord your worship. So let's read. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Psalms. In Psalm 95. And it reads something like this. It says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If you would listen to his voice today. When? Today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them, and I said, there are people whose hearts turned away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath that they will never enter my place of rest. Let us pray. Lord, I just pray today that you would just allow this scripture to just sink into our hearts, deep within our core of our being. And Lord, let us respond today to what you're doing. And Lord, that it may birth in us a desire to respond, not just today, but from this point forward for the rest of our lives until we see you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the things we see in this chapter is that worship is not meant to happen only when we're by ourselves. But there is something that God always reveals about himself to us when we worship, and we worship, say it with me, first thing, together. So in a congregational setting, this is where the psalmist is saying in verse, you know, 1 and 2 says, come, let us. So it's plural, amen? So let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. So right now when we were doing, right before, you know, we went into the offering and just the announcements, what we were doing is asking the Lord, set a fire in my soul that we can't contain, that we can't control. So we're saying, God, set a fire. And we're doing that as a congregation. And we're saying, God, do this in our lives, in this congregation. God, do it in our lives. Because we desire it together. At least I heard many of you guys singing, you know, in sync, you know, to that song. Saying, God, I want this to happen. But I don't want this to happen just to me. How many of you guys have family members that you say, God, I want you to do that in my family? Yeah. Amen. So, I mean, we don't just desire it for ourselves. It's for everyone. This is available to everyone. But it's a matter of us saying, God, I want to do this together with my brothers. And God, do it in my family. Do it with my husband. Do it with my kids. Do it with the teachers and of my kids, Lord. And everyone that I come in contact, God, I want us to sing to the Lord. There's a testimony of this sister that had been praying for her daughter. She had been praying for almost, I believe, like it was like close to 10 years, praying that God would just save her and that God would just do something in her heart and that, you know, she would just come to the Lord. She had grown up in the church, but she just didn't want anything to do with the church. But one of the things that she started praying, saying, God, I pray. And she started declaring the promises of God and saying, God, I want to respond to you and with my prayer and worshiping you and asking you and believing to you that you're going to do something in the life of my child. Lo and behold, about 5 years ago, the sister calls me and she says, Pastor, guess what happened? And I said, what happened? She's like, I was thinking something horrible had happened. You know, that's the first thing that comes to our minds all the time. Someone says, hey, guess what happened? We're like, oh, man. Who died? You know what I mean? Kind of thinking, all right, what happened here? But she's like, no, my daughter, she called me and said she had just reconciled herself to the Lord. And we talked and we prayed and we were just worshiping God together. Oh, man, that is good, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. That is good. God is a good God. So I could totally see her saying, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. I could see that happening in her life. So is there someone in your life that you're saying, God, I want that to happen in their lives? If there is, you have hope. You have hope in the word that God is who he said he is. One of the ways of expression that we see the psalmist telling us to respond to God when we worship is singing, is shouting. Come before the Lord with a grateful heart, with thankful heart, with thanksgiving, saying, God, yes. See, when we sing, don't be afraid. If you're not in key, the song is in. If you're not in the key, the song is in. So if you're singing, I know some of us get a little, you know, antsy, like, oh, man, if I sing too loud, they're going to know I'm not in key. You know, don't be afraid. Be obedient. Tell the person next to you, be obedient. Sing. That's what the word tells us. Amen. Be obedient. This pleases the Lord. Yes, you may practice until you get it. But not being on key should not prevent you from singing to the Lord. It may not be appropriate if you want to sing in a choir, maybe. But it's totally okay when you're in a congregational setting. Because it blends with all the others who are singing around you as well. Amen. So, hey, it's totally okay. So if you're singing, sing away. Yes. Saying, yes, Lord, do this in my life. When you shout, don't be afraid to shout. Don't be afraid to shout like if you were watching a football game. Yeah. Minus the vulgar words, amen? So please don't use any of those. I know something like, Pastor, you don't want me to shout like I shout in my house. You know what I mean? I know the Raiders are playing, Cowboys as well. So anyway, woo. There's going to be some crazy games. When it states that we are to shout, it is stating to shout, but shout joyfully. That's how you're to shout. Shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Saying, yes, Lord, I'm happy because you are who you said you are. Yes, Lord, because you are my salvation. You are my life. Lord, set a fire in my soul. Yes, Lord. The expression shout joyfully in the second line of verse 1 comes from the Hebrew word meaning to raise a shout. This was done when the Jewish army was expecting to go to battle when they were going to battle, but actually when they were also had a victory. So let me ask you today, what battles are you going through right now that may just need you to raise a shout against those situations? Saying, yes, you know what? I'm going to come against this in the name of Jesus. I'm going to shout joyfully saying, yes, Lord, you are my salvation. You will deliver me from this situation that I'm finding myself in. It may be that you actually got yourself in that situation, but let me tell you, there is a God who saves that pulls you out of that situation as long as you come before him and recognize, Lord, I messed up. I shouldn't have done this. The Lord will pull you out of there. But it's a matter of you saying, Lord, I'm going to stand. I'm going to shout joyfully that you are my God, the God who redeems, the God who saves, the God who gives me grace, the grace to fail. Amen. Or what victories can you shout about to say, thank you, Lord, just like this lady. Thank you, Lord, because I needed salvation for my kids, and you came through for me. Lord, I needed you to do this on my behalf, and you came through. God, I am thankful today that you are who you said you are. Lord, thank you. And shout it out. Don't be afraid. When you're here, say, thank you. Yes. Amen. You may get a couple stares here and there, but it's okay. It's okay because, you know, now that we're talking about this, you're going to know, those that are here, they're going to know, like, oh, that's what they were talking about earlier. Just to shout and be joyful about it. Now, if you're shouting and angry about it, that's a different story. So be careful, you know? That's not how the word is saying that we should express ourselves to the Lord. And then also, when we give thanks, remember those things that God has done in your life or on your behalf. Remember what Pastor Tim a few weeks back told us, that everyone on earth is a worshiper. Everyone on earth knows how to worship, but not everyone worships God. Not everyone worships God. So we are to worship that what we hold dear and sacred. And we're saying, yes, God, you are that sacred thing in my life. You are who I'm going to begin to worship. Lord, I'm going to begin to worship you. If there's anything in your life that needs to go ahead and get turned in and saying, Lord, this is what I used to worship, but Lord, I want to go ahead and give it to you. Do it and do it with thankfulness, saying, God, thank you because you're delivering me from this situation. I'm going to go ahead and do this on your behalf. God, here it is. God, I don't want this anymore in my life. Who is at the center of your worship today? Who is at the center of what you're declaring before the Lord, saying, God, what is this? You know, God always reveals himself when we worship with reverence. Say with me, reverence. So there's something that happens to us as we express our worship in song, shouting and being thankful as a congregation together and in reverence. There's something that begins to shift and it begins to deepen the core of our souls. And one of the things that verse 3 to verse 7 says, for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. See, that's who God is. Say with me, who God is. That's who he is. And then what God is doing right now is he holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. Imagine that. Imagine Mount Everest for a minute. The mightiest mountain on earth, he holds it in his hand. And that's the God that is for you. That's the God that you serve. That's the God that you worship. Imagine that. Amen. That's the God who said he is for you. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. In other words, the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. When you're at your lowest, he is your God. When you're at your highest, he is your God. He's saying, I'm going to be there wherever you are. I'm going to meet you where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. That's who God is. There's a shifting that begins to happen deep within our core when we do this in reverence, when we worship God in reverence. That means that we might have come into this building with problems, but let me tell you, we are not going to leave this building with our same problems back home. It means that we're going to come into this building not only to worship God together, but in reverence and saying, God, I am believing you that you're going to take me out. If you're low, you're going to take me out of there. And if you're at that high point, that you're going to continue to say, God, I'm going to continue to worship. And saying, God, you are great. You're great. You're a great God. You're a God above all other gods. You're the king above all other gods. Yes, Lord, you are the ruler of everything in my life. I remember a story of this lady that called us one time. She was going into labor. And we had been praying for her. She was new at the church. And she was saying, Pastor, again, I get a call. The doctors are telling us that the baby, that we're going to have to do a C-section. And the baby is going to come out, and it's going to come out, but it's not going to come out healthy. Man, that just weighs on you, doesn't it? You're like, oh, because it's out of your control. You can't do anything about it. That's a professional opinion. And then one of the things that my wife said, you know what, sister, that's what the doctors are telling you. They might be right, but we have a God that is doing something right now. Yeah. So she began to pray with her and said, let's agree that whatever the doctors told you, hey, okay, but that God would change it. That God would turn it and do something, do a miracle. Man, I got to tell you, we started praying. I was driving. Obviously, my wife closed her eyes. I didn't because I was driving. So anyway, I'm like, but I wanted to, you know, it's just one of those habits. You just want to close your eyes. Like, hey, what am I doing? So I had to open up my eyes and we were praying. We were believing God, saying, God, we don't know what this doctor said, but your promises are true. God, you said that we would ask you in the name of Jesus anything. We would agree together that you would do this on our behalf because you are for us. You do things in our lives. And we begin to pray. That was in the afternoon or the evening, kind of going into the afternoon, evening. And then we get another call at 11:30. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, here we go. I mean, I'm thinking, what's going to happen? And she calls us. And she says, you know what? I didn't have a C-section. The baby came out normal. And she has nothing in her. She has the softest skin. And I had to go and check this out for myself. And I went and I said, the baby's skin, I mean, it was it was surreal. I mean, you know, babies come out sometimes wrinkled and, you know, just. This baby came out, I mean, like perfect. I've got to tell you, I was in disbelief just because I had never seen a baby that smooth. Honestly, at least not my babies, or they weren't, you know what I mean? None of them came out smooth. Some of them cone heads, you know, a little wrinkled. I mean, this one was perfect. I was just like, this is you, God, you know? So the awesome part about it is that God revealed himself as the Lord who heals to this lady, Maricela, is her name. And this caused her to respond in worship. And you know how she worshiped? She said, Pastor, I want to dedicate my baby before the Lord. And she said, yes. And she said, can you be the one that prays for her? And can you come and just bless her? Because we know this is a miracle. She knew it was a miracle. She knew it was a miracle because she's like, this couldn't have happened without God's intervention. So we brought her before the congregation. Again, we worship together about what God was doing and revealing himself to Maricela. We were saying, yes, Lord, you are the God of her salvation. Incredible. It was I don't know if that's not a word, but anyway, that's what happens when you're translating your mind. So God is incredible. He does crazy things. We don't understand. Like Pastor Tim said just a while ago, hey, sometimes it's out of our control. Can you just be out of control for a minute? Can you say, God, thank you? Yes, Lord, you are good. You know, how do you want me to respond? I mean, this is the way she knew to respond. She says, I want to go ahead. And nobody had taught her about dedicating a baby to the Lord. Let me tell you, I had not been preaching about baby dedications. I mean, she was new, so new that she had just, she says, you know what? I don't know how do you do this, but can I just, you know, just bring her before the congregation and share what God did? So I just said, well, do you want to dedicate the baby? You know what I mean? She's like, yeah, that's so, but she just didn't know how to say that. She just knew it was something that needed to happen. So God always reveals himself to us. In this case, she revealed to her as the God who heals. And she responded and saying, I want to be responsible to raising this child in the ways of the Lord. This is the shift that I'm talking about. So my question to you is, what has God done in you or for you that you have yet to respond to the Lord? Let's just think about that for a minute. Because God will always want us to respond. How? That is the unique assignment of the Holy Spirit, to reveal that to you in your heart and saying, yes, Lord, it looks like this. We begin to shift when we are worshiping in reverence. We begin to shift the focus on what has happened during the week or what we've heard during the day or what has happened to us at home right now or ourselves. And we begin to shift it to who God is and what he has done and what he's doing right now. We begin to shift our focus in him. This is where we recognize God's sovereignty and we recognize our dependency in him. This is where we confess the truth of who he said he is. When we worship, we declare and say, Lord, you said that this would happen. This is not my truth. This is not what I'm saying about myself. This is what you said. This is where we begin to root ourselves in the promises of God. When we worship, we declare and say, Lord, you said, when we declare who he is in us, for us and through us, you can be at an expectation that God is going to begin to reveal himself to you in a mighty way as you worship him. Once he reveals himself to you, respond to him. Respond. Let us look at what the psalmist was saying about who he is. So again, he says, for the Lord is a great God and a king above all gods. He said it this way, God, you are this. What God was doing right now is he was holding, he says, he holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. And what he has done, the sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. This is a sign of reverence. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Let us kneel. Lord, we want to do this for you, who God is. For he is our God. We are the people. He watches over the flock under his care. Can we say he is our pastor? Can we say Jesus is the good shepherd? You know? Yes. This is what David was saying. Hey, God, you are the one who leads me. You are the one. But before you lead me, Lord, let me kneel. Let me reverence your presence. Let me just be before you and hear and listen to what you have to say to me. God always reveals. And third thing that God reveals about himself when we worship is that we are supposed to worship with awareness. With awareness. God is speaking to us today. There's a danger when we don't respond to what God is revealing to us today. When we don't proceed with caution. Let us not harden our hearts to what he wants us to do. We need to be cautious when we come before the Lord. Verse 7 through 11 says, if you would listen to his voice today, the Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. See, there's a caution here because even though you see God's faithfulness, doesn't mean that you're responding to what he's revealing to you. Just because you're seeing God's faithfulness doesn't mean you're responding. That's why I was saying, my question was, you know, what is it that we have yet to respond to what God has shown us? I mean, if God has shown himself to you in a certain way, you know, the God provides, how is your giving? You know, as the God who heals, how are you responding in worship before the congregation? If it's the God, you know, who gave you a new job, I mean, those the God that provides, I mean, those are, how are you responding to the Lord? If he saved you, the God who saves, how are we sharing our faith like Pastor mentioned last week? in Galatians 5. You know, how are we expressing our faith and love? You know, because that's the only thing that matters, that we express our faith, you know, in love. So how are those expressions being manifested in your life? How are you responding? That's a way for us to respond. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul tells us and reminds us, when we take communion, to proceed with caution. And what do I mean? This, to be aware and take the supper of the Lord, analyzing ourselves first. We need to make sure that we are not hardening our hearts to what he wants from us. To say, you know, we're going to take the, you know, communion, but Lord, analyze myself. Is there something that I have not yet given over to you? Is there something that I have not surrendered? If I haven't surrendered, Lord, would you reveal that to me? And would you help me be obedient? Would you help me, Lord? Because if I'm being stubborn or don't want to listen, I don't want to be in this situation. So ask for courage and say, Lord, help me be courageous in this area and turn it over to you. How many here have ever been ignored in the past? Yes, there's a few hands that went up right away, like, Lord, heal those hearts in Jesus' name. Was it pretty? No. Well, let me ask your husband or your wife if you've ever been ignored before. Or your kids. Was it pretty? No. So tell the person next to you, stop it. If you're ignoring your kids, no. Or you're ignoring your spouse, stop it. Don't do it anymore. Please. It's not pretty. Stop it. Because this is what happens. This is what King David was saying. Hey, don't harden your hearts. Don't ignore God, please. Don't ignore him. People are asking, like, what does that mean? Does my heart literally get hard? No, it means you ignore what God is telling you to do. So let us not ignore what God is speaking to us. And he speaks to us in, you know, through his word. He reveals himself to us through his word. So Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verse 27, that we are his sheep, and those that are his sheep know his voice. But we don't just get to hear his voice and ignore it, church. We actually need to follow him, be obedient to his words, and we get to respond to his voice. So again, just because we see what God is doing doesn't mean we're responding, you know? We need to respond to the Lord in that area, what God is doing right now. We don't want to harden our hearts. We don't want to say, God, you know, I hear you, but I'm afraid. Pastor Tim just said it in an awesome way. Take a risk. Take a risk. Risk it. This is what happened with King David. One of the things that King David was known for was his exuberant worship. The way he just danced before the Lord. And that is one of the things that we need to understand, that sometimes our worship could be a little passive. Just not only in our song, but in our lives. We just let things happen. Oh, Lord, that's who you are. Yeah, there goes God providing again for us. Awesome. Yay. How would that look like, you know? I don't know. I mean, you're just like, awesome, Lord. Gotcha. You are the man. You know, it's kind of almost, you get a little bit desperate, like, man, you kind of want to slap somebody, kind of, you know what I mean? Just saying, come on, snap out of it. Because our worship says, shout joyfully. Yeah. Needs to be known, should be known. Let people know that we have a God who saves. That we have a God who does things today, that he is working in our lives today, that we don't have to wait for tomorrow. He can do it today. See, when we harden our hearts to the Lord, we stall God's mission for our lives. We stop it. God wants to fulfill something in our lives. We end up taking longer to find the rest that he wants to give to us today. That's what he's saying about the people of Israel, that they took longer than what they should have, you know, because they didn't want to hear what the Lord had to say about their direction and the direction they were going. You know, so is there a direction in your life that you're taking that probably isn't the wisest or the one that God has called you to walk in, that you need to say, Lord, can you just analyze, you know, my life? Do I need to recalibrate my life and say, God, to you, point to you, saying, Lord, I've been looking at my circumstance. I've been worshiping this or this, that and the other. But Lord, today I choose to look to you. I choose to look at your promises. I choose to say, God, you are the one. And God, please guide me. Guide me to all truth. That's what your promise said that your Holy Spirit would do in my life. That you would guide me to all truth. Lord, I want to go to where you want me to go. Finally, the powerful truth of verse 7 remains true. If you would only, if only you would listen to his voice today. If only you would listen to his voice today. We always have the opportunity to worship, to respond to what God is revealing to our lives. See, I want to remind everybody is that our worship is our active response to what God reveals. Worship is our active response to what God reveals. Please note, active. You know, active, not passive.
Active.
Activate. Move. Do something. That's what it is. Not our passive response to what God reveals. Don't ignore what God is asking you to do. Don't say, oh, this is it. This is all I got. No. God, what else do you need me to do? This is what God is asking us to do. So I'm going to ask Jason to come on up and the worship team. So we're going to do something today, church. We're going to activate these things. The shouting, the singing, being thankful in our hearts. And I'm going to ask the worship team to sing that song again, Set a Fire in Our Souls. So if there's something in your life that needs to be given to the Lord, being offered, saying, God, you know, maybe it's maybe you're offended. Maybe there is an offense in your life. Maybe there was, I don't know, maybe there's a relationship in your life that you know it's unhealthy. Maybe it's, I don't know, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit would reveal to you. Let the Lord say to you what that is, and then respond to him saying, God, I want to give this over to you. I don't want to be in control of this anymore. Maybe it's caused anxiety in your life. Maybe you're having anxiety right now. Maybe there's things that you're just causing you to be anxious for maybe this week coming up. Just give that up to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be anxious about anything because you take care of me, Lord. I know that. That's what your word reminds me. And so while we sing, if you feel like shouting in your spirit, if you feel something, again, it doesn't have to be, you know, something that you just do out of routine, but if there's something in your spirit that you're starting to feel, be obedient and say, Lord, what does this look like? How do you want me to respond? Is it in song? It's just in your own words? Put a melody to those words. It's just a phrase. It's a, you know, just a sentence and saying, God, I want to put a melody to this. I want to just sing it to you. It doesn't matter if you're in key or not. You know, just sing it to the Lord. Be thankful and saying, God, I want to respond to you. So I'm going to ask everyone to go ahead and stand. And we're going to go ahead and do this. So if you feel like responding to the Lord, whatever it is that the Lord is showing you.